Blog Talk Radio.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
The best
oh my.
Is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge, your battle's already won. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best
is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a
the
winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. People told you you ain't seen no
you faith. Ain't seen your best day.
Oh, well,
well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. You have not seen your best days yet. Praise the name of Jesus. We want to welcome you to another broadcast of Kingdom Builders International. And we are so proud and ecstatic to bring forth our honored host for tonight, our brother Bernard Phillips. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Be blessed with the music, and I will be right back.
Once you deposit this word in your heart,
you ain't seen your best day yet.
No, 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 it's not too late for you to start.
You ain't seen your best day.
I want to encourage you. Is on the way. I see you eagle, I see you flying high. Ooh, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing. I know you may think that you have, but God told me to tell you, you gotta keep on fighting, keep on praying. You ain't seen nothing.
God some praises right now. We want to give him some glory. Your best days are yet to come. You haven't seen anything yet. So we are excited to just talk about what is to come. Being able to soar, being able to begin to see things as God sees them. Where we are so happy and delighted to bring forth our own brother, Brother Bernard Phillips. He's going to be hosting the broadcast every fourth Monday at 8 p.m. Central Time. So every fourth Monday, get your Bibles out, get ready, because Brother Bernard will either be bringing a word or he'll have guests on the broadcast. And the name of our broadcast is Soaring. Get ready to soar. I'm going to open up the line for Brother Bernard. And again, Brother Bernard, are you with us?
Amen.
Before you go forth, let me just cover you with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to yield the lines to you. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Father, as you're moving by your Spirit upon Bernard. Father, we just ask you right now to use him as an oracle of heaven, God. Use him as an epistle of your word, Father. And as he goes forth, unchecked by any outside force, Father, we just thank you that you use him and let the listeners hear what you have to say through Bernard to the church. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and we say amen. I yield the lines to you, Brother Bernard.
Amen. Amen. First of all, I just want to give an honor to God and give thanks for this opportunity to present his word. And I ask that God be present on the line and that his word go forth as he expected it or intended to. And I'm just going to do a short prayer. Father God, I want to thank you, Father God, because you're worthy, Father God. You're worthy of praise. Just want to give you praise, Father God, and bless your holy name. Father God, for every listener that's on the line, Father God, I ask that they hear, Father God, and not only hear, but they receive. And that not only they receive, but they become a doer of the word, Father God. Father God, I ask that any hindering spirit that may be present, I come against it right now in the mighty name of Jesus, and that your precious, mighty word go forth, and it pierce, and that they will be doers after the word is presented. Not just for this day, Father God, from this day forward. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give thanks. Amen. Okay, if y'all can turn with me to Genesis 4 and 1. We're going to read through 7. So 4 and 1 through 7. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had the respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why countenance fallen? If thou doest well, should I not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And until thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So now we see that each one of the brothers came to him, and they offered him this sacrifice. But the problem was, when they offered the sacrifice, it's a heart thing. So therefore, if you bring something unto God, it has to be your best. It can't just be something you're trying to put together so you can have something to offer. it has to be your very best. So that means if it's going to be your very best, it's going to take something. You're going to have to deal with something. You're going to have to go through something. You're going to have to spend some time. You're going to have to give some things up in order for it to be your very best. And if not, it's not going to be accepted. And then, you know, you're going to be in the same place. And you don't want to be there. So you got to spend the time. It's going to take time, but you got to put the time in order to get there. I want to go to Genesis 4 and 8, if y'all follow me, please. We're going to read up to 14. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee. Her strength, her fugitive, and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. I'm going to read 9 one more time. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? So he's giving you a chance to be honest. He's going to ask you. He's going to question you. So if you're not doing what you need to do, there's going to come a time when you have to be before the Lord. And then he's going to question you, and it's your opportunity to give the answer. And at 10 it said, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. So now he demands an answer. He's not just going to ask you, but he demands an answer. God is demanding an answer. And you have to give an answer, because when you sow a seed, whether good or bad, that seed that you sow is going to be there waiting for you, no matter what it is. So when you put that seed in the ground, whether bad, whether good, it's going to be before you. At the end of the day, it's going to still be there. So you can't run from it. He's demanding an answer. And 11, it reads, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Now here comes the punishment. So therefore, we do understand as Christians, if we don't do what we need to do, we have to stand before the Lord, and there's going to be a punishment. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to have to either obey and do what God is requiring, because if we don't, then, you know, it's going to be punishment behind it. It's just like if you have a job and you work in the job and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, and you run into a problem and you try to slick it, you know, slick the system, or, you know, do something and not be honest about what took place, then you just planted a seed. And the seed that you planted was not a good seed. So when you plant that seed, it has to grow. And it's going to create a problem. And then once it shows, the punishment is going to come. And you may get fired. You may get written up, depending on the situation. But it's the same difference. So the punishment is going to come. So whatever you're doing right now, you know it's not right. You have to consider it. You have to think about it. And you have to think about making a change, and to think about getting going higher than your present state. Because whatever state you're in, it may be higher than you was on yesterday, and maybe it's not. Regardless of the fact, you still need to go higher. Because in God, when you go to a certain level, there's always going to be another level. So you're never going to get done going to level because the pages in God is so deep. It's gonna take a lot of focus, a lot of time to peel and tear off those pages in order to go deep. Now I'm going to go to Genesis 2 and 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I want to read that again. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We must understand this. This is not a simple verse. This verse is actually, because when God breathed into him, what went into that man is God's DNA. So what God is, his essence, his being, his spirit, he breathed, he barakhed, he breathed into the man. And he gave the man himself. So now the man has in him what God has in him. The same creator that created the earth, the same creator that divided the waters, the same creator that was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that same creator that did all that breathed life. He breathed his spirit. He breathed his DNA. And he became a living soul. So therefore, what God is now is in us. So that true essence of God is in us. So that right there alone is so deep. That God resides in me. But yet and still, in spite of the fact that I understand that God lives in me and God is in me, I still walk around defeated. How is that so? So I can't walk around here defeated because having the knowledge that God is inside me, I'm looking for him. I'm trying to call on him. I can't find him, and I'm looking in the backyard. I'm looking for him. I can't find him. The reason why I can't find him because he's in me. So now when I understand that he's in me, now I understand that the power is in me. So therefore, God spoke to things. He made things take place based on the mere fact that he spoke to it. So he said he's given me the same type of authority, the same type of power. He's given me a mouthpiece. So therefore, I'm not limited. I'm not lacking. So therefore, I have everything that I need within myself. The power, the authority, the might, the ability, everything that I need is right here. So therefore, I can't walk around defeated with my head down because once I began to speak, things began to happen. And to understand that, I can't speak foolishly. I have to speak wise. In other words, what am I eating? What am I putting inside of me? Because that's what's going to matter. That's what's going to come down to. What am I putting inside of me? What am I eating? So you got to make sure because you are what you eat. What you eat is what you produce. What you eat is what you live by. So I'm going to live by what I eat. I'm going to walk by what I eat. I'm going to say what I eat. And I'm going to begin to speak what I eat. And then what you're going to see, the results of what I ate. So if you see something that's not good, it's because I didn't have a good meal. But once I have a good meal, and once I become replenished because I'm in the Word, then, therefore, you're going to see the results of that because his goodness and mercy will follow me, and the results will be all around me. John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. Was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came from a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. I'm going to go back to 4. In him was life, and the light, in the life was the light of man. So now it's saying that Jesus is the life. He is the way. And in that life was the light of men. So understand that that same light that Jesus presented, that Jesus had, the light of the men, that's the way, that's the direction. Okay, now that same light is what we have. That same shared light. We share that same light, which is the way to the Father, which is the way to Christ. So that same light is in us. So now we have to be a light unto men. We have to be a light into a darkened world. So now, as 5 reads, and the light shineth in darkness. So even in darkness, when you have light, when somebody is coming at you corrupt and they're not coming at you right, you are the light. So therefore, you cannot respond in the same way. Because it says here, in the darkness, comprehended it not. So therefore, there's no way, no how, that darkness can rule out light. Because the light is all power. So therefore, if I walk in light, I walk in all power. So there's no darkness that can come, that can take me over, that can destroy me, that can bring me down. So therefore, I cannot walk defeated because I am light. I share the light with the Father. I present the light. And that's what we're here for, to give somebody hope, to give somebody a light, to show somebody a way. So the best thing you can give somebody is Jesus. So if we can do that, then people will know. People will see. That is our job. And your job is not to work at Chrysler or to be successful, do this. No, your job is to show Christ, to be a fisherman of men. So if you see somebody down there hurting, it's your job to help. You know, it's your job to be kind. It's your job to say the right things. It's your job to listen and hear when Christ is speaking and to be obedient and to do what he's telling you to do. I'm going to read 9 as well. That was the true light, with light if every man that cometh into the world. Okay, now, so it's saying that he was the true light, with light if every man that cometh into the world. So every man that cometh into the world, he's the light, pretty much what I was explaining. He's the light. And he lighted it to every man, so they can follow in the same footsteps and show the world. So I'm going to take a music break for 1 second.
When Israel looked upon the land and saw all the destruction that was happening to the people, their hearts grew weary and they grew discouraged. And the prophet said, write the vision and make it plain. So, Father, we ask you tonight to
restore the joy. Remove the pain.
Move the pain.
Dry tears stay now.
Please, Father.
send laughter rain.
Send it now.
If you don't come, all hope is lost.
Yes, Father.
To them that trust in the cross.
Look to Calvary, Jesus.
Thy power spoke.
Yes.
Please hear our song. Hearts and say,
I'm on 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. I'm going to go ahead and read 12 too. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on. So he gave them power to become the sons of God. As many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. Once again, we're not limited. We have all power. We can go to a higher calling. There's nothing that can stop us. Who could be against you? If God is before you, who could be against you? And but he came into his own, and his own received him not. And the reason why, even today, is he coming to his own, because we are part of him, because his DNA is within us. So he come back to himself. And if he come back to himself, which is his spirit, because his spirit should link up and it should be one. But he coming to his own, and they receive him not. So therefore, if you're going contrary to what the Word of God says, then you acting in an academic nature. You're going the opposite of who you were created to be. You're going opposite of who you are. You were created to be great. You were created to do things that when Jesus came, he did certain things, and he said, you will do greater works. So you were created to do things, to make a difference, to make things happen. To put your hands, lay hands on people, and they become healed. Now, you were created to do that, but yet and still we haven't seen these things, and I want to ask you, man, woman, what's the problem? Why not? Because he's given us the power to do so. He's given us the power to soar, but we should be in a state of soaring. Because, see, if you're in a state of soaring, then you're in a state of being. It's not like you soar today and then tomorrow you don't know how. You can't. No, you're in a state of being, of soaring. So therefore, you're going from level to level to level. And you're not getting boastful or anything like that. You're still within yourself. I'm going to read Genesis 1 and 1 one more time, and also 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, what is this saying to us? There is no separation. God, Word. And then you see you have the Bible, which is the written word. And then when you begin to speak it, it's a spoken word. Okay, so it's saying in the beginning, when everything started, there was God. Beginning, when everything started, there was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That means that they're one. That means that if I say Word, I'm saying God. If I say God, I'm saying Word. So they are the same. Now you have the written Word before you, and you have the words on the pages, which are God's words. That's God's words that's on the pages. So those words that's on the pages have power. Those words that's on the pages, once you begin to speak those words, and then it begins to leap off the page and go into action. But what has to happen before they leap off the page, before you begin to put them in the atmosphere, you first have to put them inside of you. You put them inside your body by studying it, meditating on it, reciting it. And once you begin to do that, then you begin to speak the words out of your mouth, and it becomes the written word, and it's no longer the logos of the word. It becomes the written word, and I'm sorry, it becomes the spoken word, and then once it becomes the spoken word, it's going to begin to have action. It's going to begin to live. It's going to begin to go forth and begin to do exactly what you have said. And the reason why it has power is because what you just spoke out of your mouth is God. Now, we understand that there's no separation in Word and God. So, therefore, you say, I'm speaking God's Word. No, you're speaking God's. Because the Word and God, he said, are both the same. So, when you speak Word, you speak God. So, once you speak God into the atmosphere, it has to go and obey and do exactly what you said do. And it does have power because you just brought God into the atmosphere. So, therefore, when you speak God into the atmosphere, there should be a change. Things don't remain the same once God become present. So once you put God into the atmosphere, you no longer have to be fearful and have fear, because he has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And then, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. You got to speak fruits of the Spirit. You got to speak things that are fruits of the Spirit, love, peace, joy. You got to speak those things. You got to be about those things. You got to live those things. The only way to God is by way of the cross, and you got to do the fruits of God in order to get to him. So therefore, your life should be fruitful. You should not be barren. You should be able to produce. And if you're able to produce, then people are going to see the good that come out of you, and then they're going to want to be closer to God. They're not going to want to be closer to you, but they're going to want what you have. And that's what we want. We want to show them a difference. And if we can do that, then we're on our way. But God is among us. God is with us. And when he came in flesh form, and we beheld his glory. He was full of grace and truth. And we got to act accordingly. We got to act the same way. We got to be truthful and in his glory to show people what it is to love with him, to be with him. And then we need to respond appropriately. Let's go to Romans 8 and 1. I'm going to read up to 18, so it's going to be a little lengthy. Bear with me. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. The law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I'm going to read chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. The law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. So the law comes to judge. It comes to show our sin. But see, Jesus already had the victory. And because of him, we also have the victory. That's why there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So we don't have to worry about what the law comes to say. Well, you know what? You messed up. You can't do it. You can't go for it. You know you used to lie. You know you're still doing this, or you know you're still doing it. Well, I'm telling you today, brother, sister, come out of that. Because now you can go forward. Now you can do these things because Jesus already paved the way. He already killed sin. He's already done this for us. So now we don't have to worry about what it used to be and all this and all that and your past. Your past can't hurt you if you make your future right. So that's what we're working on. 4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, and who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we can't walk after the flesh. We got to walk by the Spirit. Because it's going to take somebody who's disciplined, who's serious, who's ready, who's not accepting mediocrity, who's ready to go forward. And because, now, I understand that your flesh is going to be knocking, your flesh is going to be saying this to you and saying that to you, but you got to listen to the Spirit. You got to follow the Spirit. And if you do that, then you'll be going the right direction. You'll start seeing some things change in your life and start seeing some things turn around. And you got to go to a higher calling. And that's going to be the next step. And then it's going to be another step. But you have to start somewhere. Number five is, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after things of the Spirit. So it's just reconfirming and saying the same thing. So if you're going after the Spirit, then you're going to be mindful of things of the Spirit, where the flesh, fleshy things is not going to be bothering you. You're going to be more mindful of the things of the Spirit. And the things of the flesh is not going to be pulling you and tugging at you. And every chance you get, you know, when nobody's around, then you're doing the fleshly stuff. But you're going to be going for things that follow the Spirit or after the Spirit. Six is for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life. This is very simple. If you let carnality and things, to be carnal is to desire things, possessions and stuff like that. So if that's what pulled you, you got to have that new car, you got to have that new house, you know, and you always want these possessions, but these possessions, even if you're in church, these possessions, you can't wait to get out of church to go drive your new car. So that's carnally minded. If you are carnally minded, then that's what you're going to die by. You know, but if you're thinking on things of the Spirit, then you should live by fruits of the Spirit, and you're going to be blessed, and then you're going to see your way made prosperous. So that's the way that you want to go. Seven is reading, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, because it's not part of him. So therefore, it's separation. The carnal mind is separation from God. So therefore, you don't want to be separated from God. It's sin. It's against what he's calling you to do. It's against what you were created to be. So if you were created to be something, why would you live in a false identity? That's an identity crisis. You don't know who you are. But when you begin to understand who you are and you begin to know who you are, you won't walk in a false identity. Then you'll begin to flow in the Spirit, and you'll live by the Spirit. And then you'll begin to hear God, and you'll begin to hear him, and it'll become clear. You'll hear a clear voice. You'll begin to have vision. You'll begin to see. You'll begin to walk, and you'll begin to say, and you'll begin to see. You'll begin to live it out. So those are the things that you want. Those are things that you desire. Eight is, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Same thing. If you're in the flesh, you can't please him. So if you're trying to please him, you can't be in the flesh. It's very simple. There's no in-between, no ifs, no buts, or well, maybe I do. No. It is either you're going to please God or you're not. You know what I'm saying? If you're not, then you're going to have to be cold or hot. Which one are you going to be? You can't be lukewarm. You can't be in the middle. So either you're going to do it, you can't serve two masters. So choose you this day who you're going to serve. But ye are not in the flesh. Now, he's saying you are not in the flesh because that's not how but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So you are not his if you don't have the Spirit in you and you're not operating by the Spirit, but you're operating by the flesh and you're not his. But he's saying that the Spirit is in you, so you got to act accordingly because the Spirit is present. 10 is, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So if I'm righteous, I'm going to live righteous, and then you're going to see my righteous work. But if I'm not righteous, then you're going to see the opposite. And then if Christ is in me, as it was saying, and it's in my body, it's basically everything else that's not like Christ is dead. I'm dead to it. That means it don't affect me. It can't pull me. It can't hurt me. It can't trick me. It can't deceive me because I'm wise, because I'm of the Spirit. I'm operating by the Spirit. I'm operating of the Spirit. So, therefore, I don't have to worry about those type of things. I don't have to worry about what somebody might say to me. I don't no longer have to worry about what somebody might do to me because I'm wise. I know how to speak against those things. I know how that if I pray before I leave my house every morning, or if I pray when I'm getting ready to leave off of work, and my family come together and pray, a family that prays together stays together. So if there's word in my house, then my house is protected because I got to constantly put God inside of me. I got to constantly fulfill my spirit. I got to constantly give it what it hungers and thirsts after. So therefore, if I do this, then those worries will drop off because he has not given me the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So those are the ways that I have to operate. And as Christ being you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of the righteousness. 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwell in you. So it's saying the same God that raised Jesus is the same God that we serve. So that same power dwells in you. And if that same power dwells in you, then once again, you're not limited. But yet and still, we're walking limited. And that shouldn't be. So therefore, you acting out in a false nature. And we got to come away from that. So now we understand that the body is dead. Things won't so easily pull us and get us because of the righteousness of the Spirit is alive. And it's a heart thing, see. So once you understand, once you know, then you begin to do. Begin to be filled up, replenished inside of you. You begin to live a certain lifestyle. And it becomes a heart thing where you fervently want God. It's not a Mickey Mouse decision. It's a decision that you made to get closer to him, to walk with him, to talk with him. And once you made that decision, then you have to show on outwardly what it is. And I don't know why the Spirit is leading me to say this, but through certain things of God just to show that, okay, well, you know what? I'm in the Bible all the time. You know, I pray all the time. I'm always on my face. Right now I'm fasting. I'm just, you know, I'm always doing something for God. You know, I give to the poor. I do this. Because now it becomes where we're just trying to boast ourselves, make ourselves look good, and bring up ourselves. But the Lord said if you do that, then you've already gotten your reward. So when you do something for God, you got to do it quietly. In other words, I'm not doing it to draw attention. I'm not doing it to get my name out there. I'm not doing it to be known. But I'm doing it because I love his people. And see, when you do it like that, then your reward is great. And that's how we have to do it. We have to follow that because any other way is just not going to do it. Therefore, brother, we are debtors, not in the flesh, I mean, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. So we know we're not living after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. So if you live after the flesh, it's really very, very simple. You're going to die. You're going to definitely die. I mean, it's going to be a spiritual death, of course, but it's going to also be a physical death. But if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye should live. And that's what we want to be. So we're going to follow the Spirit. We're going to do things of the Spirit, and then we shall live. Now, also, not only where you live, but you're going to live. And I want to put emphasis on the word live. That means that you're going to live. People are going to know. If you truly, truly, and it's a hard thing, and you're into God, then they're going to see that you're being blessed. And sometimes we get being blessed mistaken, because we think being blessed is always physical things, the things that a carnal man would desire and want. And it's not always true, although that could be so. But when I say you should live, you're not going to live in fear. You're gonna live, and you're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. You know what I'm saying? So when I go to bed at night, I'm going to sleep comfortably because I'm going to have sweet sleep, and I'll have sweet success. But the success that we measure it by is not the type of success I'm talking about. I'm talking about success in God. I'm talking about when your spirit, man, began to rise and you began to know who you are and you began to live by Christ's words and by God's words, and then the word become alive in you. And then, you know, then you'll feel a certain way and certain things won't bother you. Things will just fall off of you. That's when it's sweet success. That's when it's joy. So those are the things that we have to desire and have to go for. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So now we become the sons of God, joint heirs with him. And that's the thing. We become the son of God. That means that we're one with him. He's bringing himself back to himself. Because all the parts, I want to say parts, so that you can get an understanding, all the parts of God that's in the earth, it's many. When Jesus came, he was only one, and he did great works. He did miracles, performed miracles. But he said, you shall do greater works. Why did he say that? Because this is Jesus saying, we will do greater works. How can we do greater works than Jesus? He's only saying that because, first of all, God breathed his spirit in us. So we have that same DNA in us. And not only that, but it's a multitude of us. We are many. Where Christ done all this, and he was one. He was, you know, in one place. He was doing it, you know, he was one flesh doing it. Although the Spirit of God and the Godhead was wrapped in him, but it was made flesh. But he was doing it as one. But now it's multiple, and we're many. So therefore, those same works we can do, and greater, because we can perform it all over, everywhere. So those are the things that we have to be mindful of. And that's why we got to get our brother. That's why we got to get our sister. That's why we got to become fishermen and men, because, you know, how it works. Two of people come together, and the more they come together, the more you can set the flight. And that's the thing. That's what we want to do. We want to become many. And, yes, it's very important that I go get my brother. Yes, it's very important that I go get my sister. Even if I have to drive somewhere to go get them, and the Spirit lead me to go get in my car and go get my brother, have a conversation with my sister, or go talk to this man that I don't even know, or go talk to this lady that I don't know. Yes, you have to be obedient, because that's what it's about. Because the best thing you can give somebody is Christ. So therefore, who are you to say no when Christ speaks and tell you what to do? Because that is your life. When you're saying no, you're saying no to yourself. Because he's trying to take you to another place. He's trying to take you to a higher level. So you can't afford to say no. You can't afford to be shy. You can't afford to be scared. You can't afford to be fearful. So the answer is yes. The answer is always yes, because that is your life. But, Lord, I'll do it no matter what, Lord God. I don't know if I'm doing this for a certain reason. It doesn't matter. I don't need to understand it, Lord God, but all I know is you said do it, and that's all that matters. Once you understand that, then you go forth and you do it. 15 is, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And it's pretty much the same thing that this explained, fear and bondage. We're not in bondage. We're not locked up. We're not in fear, because we can go forth, and we can go forth with power. And we have to understand and know that we're going forth with power. So if God tells me to do something, then I know when I open my mouth, that he's going to be present. He's going to be there. Now, even if you're fearful, even if you're scared, go through it scared. But just go over there because you got to break that fear. There's only one way to break it. And you got to begin to open your mouth. You got to begin to speak. You got to begin to say it. Because how can I say I trust God, but yet and still I'm afraid to speak of him? I'm afraid to say what he's telling me to say. I'm afraid that my mortal body can't do it. I didn't have enough study time. I didn't have enough prayer time. I wasn't on my knees long enough. But you got to start from somewhere. So therefore, man, woman, open your mouth. Begin to speak. And then if I believe in him, if I trust him, and I love him, then I know that he won't let me down. I know that he won't fail me. I know that he's going to give me the authority. I know that he's going to give me the power to do so. I know that he's going to be present once I begin to open my mouth. Because it's because of the obedience. That's going to create his presence. That's going to create the atmosphere. That's going to change the world. That's going to change your surroundings. So, first of all, you got to open your mouth. You got to speak what you place in your belly. I don't care if it's a little, because he just said it'll take just a mustard seed of faith. So, therefore, when you take just a little, he'll make a lot. God is a God that multiplies. He takes little things and make it and multiply and make more. So, therefore, we want to roll with him. Therefore, that's the direction we want to go. We don't have an opportunity. We don't have time to go the other way because time is running out, so we got to get it together. We're trying to go higher. We're trying to go to a different level, so we're trying to be different. We're trying to change. I have to start somewhere. So when are you going to start? Then we always say, well, you know, I got to get me a suit. Tomorrow, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. You're always putting today off for tomorrow. But the Lord said it's time. It's time we need to make a change. It's time for you to get serious. It's time for you to get real. When are you going to answer? When are you going to answer the call? When are you going to do it? Okay, because time is running out. And it's not promised to you. Tomorrow is not promised to you. So, therefore, when are you going to do it? Tonight sounds like a good time to make that decision and start doing what God is telling you to do because we don't have an opportunity to just do it our way because he's a sovereign God. And then, like I said, he raised Jesus from the dead. He has all power. The mighty God stands before us, and he asked a question, and he demanded an answer. When are you going to do it? Because now he's a merciful God. He's given us chance after chance after chance after chance, but time is going to run out on us. And we don't know the hour. So, therefore, you have to get it together. You have to get it together. Now, we don't owe flesh anything, so we don't have to operate by our flesh. Because if you follow the flesh, you'll be led by the flesh. You will die, once I said before. But if you live by the Spirit, then you should live by the Spirit. Your life, according to what the Spirit says, everything, the whole counsel of the Bible is the kind of things that you will see. So if we understand this, and you really receive it in your spirit, then you want to start providing fruit, bearing fruit and things of that nature because you're living by the Spirit. So it's automatically going to bear fruit. Let me recap 16, 17, 18 a little bit. Itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Okay, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit, that we are children of God. There's only one spirit, the same breath of life, the same spirit that breathes into man to make him a living soul. It's coming in contact with itself and joining forces to manifest power in us. So, we are children to manifest heirs of God, to become one again, to link up, to join up. So why do we want to do something opposite of what we were created to be? That's the question I'm asking. And it sounds real good to live by God and all these things, that the good part, you know, praise go up, the blessing come down, the Lord blessing with this. It sounds real good to follow God like that. But the part that we don't want is the suffering with him, the blessed part. So everything is not going to be smooth. Sometimes we're going to come into things. Sometimes things are going to happen that is going to, you know, come at us. But therefore, it's okay. Because if we live by the Spirit, some things are going to come our way. And when they come our way, that's okay, because we're living like Christ lived. He ran into some things. He faced some things. So, you know, we're going to have to deal with the same type of things, but he's glorified in that. And he's the light of the world. And like I said, once again, the best thing you can do is give somebody Jesus. And you can't eat the fruit of the land until you possess the land. There's no shortcuts. It's going to take prayer time, study time, meditation, and you got to be willing to not stop at nothing. You got to be diligent, steadfast, and you got to have purpose. And if you put all this together, then you will be soaring, and you will be going to a new level. And now I want to end with this. The Word is the only book that the deeper you go, the higher you go. So if you want to soar, you got to dig. And if you dig, you'll be soaring. And like Nike say, just do it. I say just soar. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen again. Can open up the lines. Prophetess.
And I came to tell you, it's coming down. It's coming down.
Praise the Lord. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, God bless you. How you doing today?
Wonderful.
Listen, I just want to stand on and confirm what you just said in your word today, because you made it very plain. You made it very clear as to where anybody can understand it. And I was I just want to reconfirm, you know, how the Holy Spirit always confirms his word. It just, I went to a visiting church on yesterday, and the preacher was preaching about becoming fishers of men. And that's what you were just talking about today. And it also goes back to, yes, we are our brother's keeper. So I just wanted to encourage you. You know, the Lord, he will use you if you will avail yourself for him to use you. He's looking for more vessels. And you are truly an anointed vessel that the Lord is using. And I just wanted to encourage you to continue to stay faithful, continue to stand on God's word, because he definitely has anointed you for a purpose, and you are fulfilling your purpose. And I know God is glorified. And so I just want to reconfirm that the way you broke that word down today, I don't know everything about the word, but I do know enough about the word to know that you was right on. You hit it head on, and you made it plainly and clear what people can understand. But first and foremost, in order to do what you just talked about, you got to get in the word. You got to know the word. Then the word has to be in you, and then you can become fishers of men. So that is our purpose as those who are saved in Jesus' name. That is our main purpose, is to go out and be soul winners for Jesus Christ, for the kingdom of God. And so I just want to encourage you to stay in God's word, because he has definitely anointed you to be a vessel that he's using in the earth. Because like you said during your message, that he said in his word that we, as the body of Christ today here on earth, we can do greater works. Like you said, Jesus Christ was only one in the flesh, but we have those who are tied up and wrapped up in Jesus Christ all over the land, different denominations, who are truly born again in Jesus. We have a purpose, and that is to be on one accord to win souls for the kingdom. So I just wanted to let you know that you are definitely being used by God, and I'm praying for you, and I continue to pray that the Lord continue to bless you as you have went forth with a mighty word on today for against his people.
Amen. I appreciate you, man, God. I thank you so much, and I definitely receive that. Thank you so much.
God bless you. You're welcome. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hello?
Brother Bernard?
Yes.
Okay, amen. I just wanted to make sure that you could hear me. I was speaking earlier, and I got a couple of texts that I was not being heard. So I just wanted to make sure you could hear me now. I think I fixed the issue. Thank you, Brother Brown. I want to ask, we have Sister Audrey from Albany, Georgia. Do you have a comment at this time?
Yes. Brother Bernard, I was just really blessed with what you were saying this evening. You broke it down for me personally to understand everything that you were saying. You were awesome. That was an awesome word that came forth. That was awesome. That was an awesome teaching that you did. And I was truly, truly blessed with that. And I thank you so much. And you continue. Like, you continue to do God's word. You continue to do God's work. And you continue to be a teacher, because that's what you are. You're teaching us about God's word. And I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Amen. Praise God. Is there any other comments that's on the line? If so, we do have the lines open. You can press 1
yes.
on your dial, and we'll know that you're there.
Yes. Yes, yes. I would like to say yes to his will. I really thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I thank him for my son. And he truly, truly went forth. And I just thank God because he was willing to step. Jesus was telling Peter to come to him on the water. And I feel like that he just stepped out, you know, and knowing the water is deep in the name of Jesus, and he stepped out by faith, and God is pleased with that. And I just pray that you keep on keeping on doing what you're doing and not being afraid to step out on God, because if you step out on him by faith, he's going to work out everything that you need. And I know that you're willing to do it, and you did a beautiful job through the Holy Spirit. So I just thank God for you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Mother.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Praise God. Is there anyone else that have a comment about the word tonight or for Brother Bernard? We give you this opportunity to come forth if you like.
Praise be to God. Thank God for you. Thank God for you, Bernard. I really thank God and appreciate you bringing the word so plainly, so clear, and let us know that we are our brother keeper. And as you explain everything, I really, really, really was helped. I really was helped. And you just brought it out. Like you said, even a child can really understand and know, and they will be able to know the way of the Lord, to know how to be able to stand different things that come up on us in this life. Because once we have the Holy Spirit there with us, He is there to give us the strength and the power that we need. And we don't need to say, I can't do this, I can't do that, because we know that we can't, but we know that God can. And when we stand on that word, meditating on that word day and night, as the scripture said, we'll be more than conquerors, because we know that God is with us and directing our path each day. Pray for you to stand firm and strong and continue. I just thank God for you. I give God the glory for giving you the strength and giving you the courage. And I pray that we all would stand firm from this day forward, stand firm, because the word was so clear that even a child would understand. I thank God for you, and I give him the praise. Continue, my brother. Continue in the word. And I will, too, continue in that word and share that word with others, that they will be able to stand and be strong in the Lord as you are. And I pray that God will keep you strong, strong in spirit, strong in body, mind, and soul, and be blessed spiritually as well as physically and mentally. Thank you, God, for Bernard. And I give you the praise. I give God the praise and the honor for what you have spoken this day. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Brother Bernard.
I appreciate the encouragement from you guys so much, because it lets me know that it's not in vain. It's somebody is being helped. And
Amen.
That's really what I want to definitely focus on. I don't want to just, you know, just talk or nothing like that. I want to be real as possible, and I want to present God's word the way he want to present it. And I know if you're going to have any power, then it's going to take some study time and some things, some changes that I have
Amen.
To make in order to maintain that and to make that happen. And I'm still working on it. I'm still trying to get there. But it's going to get greater and greater, and things are going to begin to change. And then you're going to begin to see some things. You're going to be able to see God moving, God working, and his precious power, mighty,
yes.
awesome power being moved and displayed. And then the world. I just give him praise.
Me too. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Glory to God. Is there anyone else on the line that would like to have a comment before we come to an end of this broadcast?
Praise God. I just thank the Lord for this night. Amen. I want to truly say that I was blessed by the word, and like everyone else, have confirmed that it was made plain. And I think that is one of his endeavors, is to that he wants that word to be plain. As I was speaking to him earlier, and we were talking, his idea of just the concept of the word, and he wants everything to be revealed and made known and to leap off the pages. And so I know that is one of his goals, is to make sure that everyone understands the word. Amen. And so as we were talking today, as he pondered the word, he pondered the word over and over and over and over again. And the reason why is that he wanted in his spirit. He doesn't want to just say something, and because he heard it, he wants that thing to go deep down into the deep places in him, so that when it come forth, it's coming out like living water, springs and wells of living water. So I can truly say that you brought forth the word, amen. You know how when the preachers are preaching, they say, make it plain, make it plain. I could say that, brother, you made it plain, amen. And I was blessed by the word, and I do encourage you to be strengthened and keep going, because God is taking you to higher places so that you can soar in him. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you. I received it.
Amen. Amen. Well, we know that you soared tonight in the spirit, and we know that God have moved upon you and moved upon all the listeners, and truly we give him all the glory, give him all the honor, and we give him all the praises for allowing you to come forth. And it's your time. It's your season. It is the set time. It is the appointed time. You haven't missed anything. You're right on time. So all things are working together for the good of them that love the Lord and the called according to his purpose. So you in God's timing, Brother Bernard, and truly we are just so happy and elated, filled with joy to hear you come forth and bring that word and make it plain, as Pastor Celeste was saying, and just everyone just
Amen.
Came forth and to encourage you in the Lord. So we're going to let you have the last comments, and then we're going to end the line. I want to encourage everyone to come forth on Friday. We'll be here again with Yolanda Bradley, our cousin. She'll be coming forth with the word on the 28th at 8 p.m. on Friday. So come on back and join in with us as she comes forth with what has been deposited into her so that she can sow again. And it's just so good to sit at the table and feast together. So we're going to ask you, Brother Bernard, if you have the closing words.
Amen. Just want to thank everybody for the encouraging words. And don't think that it's not necessary, because it is very encouraging to hear somebody enjoyed it or somebody was helped, you know. It's very, very needed to know that, just to know that. And it's not for a pat on the back or anything like that, but it's just to know that somebody is getting something from God. And that's a joy. It's a joy to me to even have an opportunity. And I'll be honest, you know, even when I was even asked to do it, there was fear. But see, he has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And so sometimes we need encouragement to go on. That's why I say, you know, if you have to do it scared, then do it scared. But you have to be obedient, because he's demanding an answer. So if he's demanding an answer, then we have to answer. But I'm lead with saying this. Make a decision no matter where you are. And I don't mean far as where you're sitting or where you're standing in your home or not, but I mean where you are spiritually, no matter where you are, no matter what level you're on, make a conscious decision to go higher. Make a conscious decision to go higher. And then when you get there, make a conscious decision to go higher. And when you get there, make a conscious decision to go higher. So what I'm saying to you is don't stop. Keep moving. Keep going. Because there's always a higher level. There's always a deeper fold. There's always a deeper level of revelation that God has that can be open unto you. And you're only going to get that is when you're digging. So you have to dig. You have to dig. But the more you dig, the more you dig down, the higher you will go. And it's not for you, but it's so that you can give somebody else Jesus. So the more you know about God, the more opportunity, the more chance you can give it to someone else. So when you study, you're studying to help somebody else. That should be your purpose, to pull people in, to bring them in. And I'm going to close with that. Amen.
Amen. And I just agree with that word. Isaiah 55 and 11 says, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. So we send the word of God to everyone on the line, and it shall prosper. It shall bear fruit. It shall bear much fruit. So again, we are truly encouraged, because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he shall repent. Has he said it, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and he shall not make it good.
So he's going to make it good. So just get excited about your blessing and about what is to come. So, again, we're going to end the broadcast. Father, we thank you for Brother Bernard. We thank you for all the listeners. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for an opportunity to be our brother's keepers. Father, we thank you, God, for an opportunity, God, to sow into your people. So, Father, give us the heart. Give us the mindset, Lord God, to get in your presence and to study to show thyself approved. Workmen of God, needing not to be ashamed, that we would rightly divide the word of God. Father, we thank you that when fear come in, God, that we would literally have a conversation with fear and crush the enemy of fear. And we will release faith, we will release courage in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for how you have moved, how you have spoken, God, and we receive it unto ourselves. So, Father, we thank you that this day you have made, and we rejoice in it. Amen, and glory to God. Well, truly, glory to his name. God bless everyone.
Open your mouth and worship him. Come on, with the fruit of your lips, give him the glory. Come on, give him the honor tonight. Come on, we give him all the praise, all the worship. It belongs to him tonight.